This podcast replay is brought to you by Choice Mortgage Bank. Fixed mortgage rates under 3.5%. Military veterans, zero down, 100% financing. Call the owner's cell phone right now. Michael Codsey, 561-441-2730. That's
561-441-2730. This is the Big O Show.
All righty. Yes, sir. We promised you we're going to start this hour talking a little fantasy basketball, and we do it with Andy Behrens every Wednesday here on the program. Send in your fantasy basketball questions. If you got some questions, you send them in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. You can also send them in on the YouTube chat board here, on Twitter at Big O Show. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens and catch his work at Yahoo Fantasy. Good afternoon, Andy. How you doing, my man?
Here we go. I'm good. I'd be better if I had a little bit more Luka. Be better if I had a little bit more James Harden, but I don't. I'm doing okay. How was your Thanksgiving, man?
It was great, brother. As long as I can relax, and the food was actually decent, considering my mother-in-law wasn't in town. So it was all right. It was all right. I survived, which was a good thing. Although
survive in advance.
Yeah. The Harden thing, that was a rough one because you get a lot of points one way, but then you get a lot of negatives with a lot of misses. If that was, you know, your league scoring, of course.
Honestly, it's one of the weirdest great seasons I can recall. This man is averaging almost 40 points a game. Man is averaging 39.5 points a game, and he's doing it without even shooting a particularly good percentage. So you have this fantasy problem in categories leagues where, like, he just went 11 for 38. Like, you're gonna lose your week in field goal percentage off of an 11 for 38 performance, but he also scored 50, you know, like he's actually been sort of digging into his numbers a little bit today. His effective field goal percentage is one of the best of his career. It's like the fourth best of his career. I mean, that, like, taking 14 threes a game is just not, you know, like, our, like, the rules of fantasy basketball weren't even built for that, you know. It's a tough one. It's an amazing season, and I will double down on the prediction that at some point this year he's going to score 80. He's going to hit that Kobe number, because, you know, if he's averaging 40 a game, it's not that uncommon for people to have, like, one game in which they score twice their average. He's just going to have a game where he's hot and it's competitive into the fourth quarter, and he's going to end up with like 85 points.
I got to tell you that last night was a funky, funky game. And here's the thing. I got to give props to myself on this, because a couple days ago, I noticed that there was an uptick in minutes for Lonnie Walker IV. And obviously, as a Canes fan, I follow him a little closer than most people. And I'm looking at the Spurs stinking out the place. And I'm going, okay, the DeRozan and Aldridge rumors maybe do become something. And I would imagine that after the 28-point performance last night, he now becomes a hot pickup. But what do you think? Because I got him on my team already. Last night I was smiling when he hit 28 points, because I'm like, all right. I'm going to start him next week over Kendrick Nunn. I'm going to bench Kendrick Nunn for him. And my point, or my question to you is he now a under-the-radar guy still, or is he now the obvious pickup of the week because maybe DeRozan does get dealt down the line?
Yeah, I will say I don't think he's under the radar anymore.
Right.
Obviously not after a 28-point game. He played 34 minutes. Like, he checked most of the boxes that you'd want to see. Shot, looking at the box score now, it was 10 for 18. He was, you know, if you're the sort of person who's checking in on like the daily news and notes around fantasy basketball, he led a lot of those stories. So once that happens, you know, he'd be a pretty high buzz player for a few days. It's a weird team. You know, it's just a team in this era that's built around the talent of LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan is weird. I have no concept of what the market could possibly be for either one of those players. because I think they've both sort of established themselves as guys that you don't win a title by leaning on. You know, like it's really hard. Which contenders think that DeMar DeRozan makes them that much better? I don't even know. I don't even know how they get out of that situation. But I do think he's a guy who, and the minutes have just been all over the place. He's in the last, you know, week or so, he'll play double digit minutes, and then he'll play a single minute, and then he'll play double digit minutes again. So it's not the most perfectly clean path, but definitely passes the eye test. And again, he's coming off a huge line, so I don't think he's under the radar anymore. I think he got in when you know you really needed to. But again, a pretty talented player.
Yeah, and well, I picked him up 2 days ago. He was under the radar at that moment. Now he is no longer under the radar. Now, how do you view him? Is he a guy, do you think it's a flukish thing? Is it just, you know, whatever? Or do you think this is a guy that actually may turn into something because, hey, the Spurs do need it, actually?
I think he may actually turn into something, and the Spurs have a wonderful track record of playing the guys who are who are actually going well. I don't think they're going to get too locked into the idea that he needs to stay on the end of the bench, or he's not this brand name player, or whatever. Like if you're balling, Pop is going to play you. I think he's really good. I don't know that it's going to be 30 minutes a night. Because it's sort of a cluttered mess of a roster, in my view. But I do think he's pretty clearly settled in as somebody who should be seeing 20, 25 to 30 minutes, and that's certainly enough. He's got the talent, without question, to produce for fantasy owners on that sort of usage.
All right, and remember, if you want to follow Andy Behrens on Twitter, it's at Andy Behrens. Catch his work at Yahoo Fantasy. I suffered an injury yesterday. Well, the weird part is you set your lineup on Monday, and so yesterday was the first time that the Wizards were going to play, and I just found out that Thomas Bryant is now out for like 3 weeks with apparent foot injury, and I'm stuck with him now for the rest of the week. I can't even change him because you have to have your lineup set on Monday. I hate it. But that's one of those, you know, stickling things that have been part of our league forever. So now Davis Bertans had a good night last night, and he's already been showing flashes. And then Mo Wagner's injured, but he's about to come back. Which one of these guys? Is it Bertans? Is it Wagner? Is it both? How do you look at this situation without Thomas Bryant there?
Yeah, I love this question. I'm glad you asked it. This is a really interesting team for fantasy purposes. I think the first thing I want to address is your league format. Like, I, in theory, like the weekly transactions because I don't necessarily feel like a fantasy title should be won by the person who just has the most availability to get online and make transactions and stuff like that. Like, I don't mind weekly lineup setting. Cause I like nobody's generally thrilled by, you know, the idea that you can just stream positions every day, every season, and you win titles that way, but whatever.
Okay. You know what? You convinced me, dude. I never thought of it that way. That's fantastic.
Cause I feel like it balances things between the notion of like, you got to really know the player pool. And it's not, like, you're obviously pretty good. If you picked up Walker a couple days ago, like, you're obviously pretty good at identifying talent early, right? Like that skill still wins out. I just don't like the constant churning. The problem is when guys get hurt on Monday, and I've been burned by this a couple times already this year. I feel like De'Aaron Fox might've gotten injured in a Monday practice. And like, I missed that whole week. Like that stuff sucks. Anyway, to your question, Bertans just played a really great game. He had 40 minutes to play with because, like, there was nobody else. You know, Mo Wagner was out because of, is it an ankle? I think it's an ankle.
I think so, too. I think it's an ankle, yes.
The key thing with him is that he's day-to-day. And that guy's put up some numbers, and he's put up some really interesting rate stats so far this season. Like, he actually leads the league right now in effective field goal percentage, which, of course, is just basically field goal percentage factoring in three-pointers. He's shooting over 40% from three and well over 40% from three. shooting 60+% from the field overall. Like, he's just been really good, and he's clearly going to come into a bunch of minutes. He's only day to day, I believe. So it's not like Wagner's out for, you know, 2 weeks or anything like that. And as soon as he comes back, I think he's probably going to be the more interesting of the two. Bertans might be, you know, whatever, you need block shots, something like that. He might be a little bit better. He's clearly going to play. But I kind of feel like his big game was the function of a ton of minutes. And I feel like Wagner's going to be the guy who's really going to be interesting if he comes into a significant, you know, significant usage, significant shot totals. He's really only been playing like 18-ish minutes per game. I'm looking at his season line right now. Yeah, it's 19.4 minutes per game. So if that guy's getting 30, he's super interesting to me.
Yeah, that's you're talking about Wagner, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Cool. I'm thinking the whole team is really interesting.
No, but you're saying if Wagner gets to 30 minutes, not Bertans. You're saying if Wagner gets to 30 minutes, because I'm with you.
30 minutes a game. The way he's shooting and his ability to hit threes and just sort of his all-category usefulness, I think he's really interesting. That team is suddenly like kind of a smorgasbord for fantasy owners because Isaiah Thomas is playing really well. There's been this little surge there. He just scored 20. And he's finally shooting above 40%, which he hasn't done for the last couple of years. So it would really be nice to see him make a run at like a comeback player, situation. Cause what just a good backstory. He was such a legend for Boston that 1 year, and he's playing really, really well right now. So I think he's actually an interesting add as well.
And let me add just a little caveat to the Wagner thing. If I'm correct, in most leagues, he is listed as a forward, and because Bryant will be out, they will play him at center. If he ends up starting enough while he's out, he will then get the center line. So, because I know in my league, he's only listed as a forward, but I'm hoping that if he gets enough center spots, then you can now move him from center to forward, too, so he'll be, you know, available in two positions. I think I'm correct on that.
In Yahoo leagues right now, he's already a power forward and a center.
Wow.
Okay. And as people know, I could argue that we're generous to a fault with our positional designations, but that's kind of where we're at. But yeah, he's absolutely going to have to play center minutes, and I would expect other fantasy providers would flip him over as soon as he is.
Yeah, I think he's still only a power forward in CBS. I'm pretty sure. Yes, he is. I just pulled it up. So in CBS, he's still only a power forward. So just in case, if you play the CBS league, now you'll know that Mo is a guy you could pick up and stash and could end up being a... And in the end, it's what you talked about. Even when Bryant comes back, Mo still could end up getting the playing time next to him.
Yeah, he can... That's a really good point. Without question, he can play alongside him.
Right. So there you go. Mo Wagner, Davis, Bertans. Two options for you. And Lonnie Walker, if you're sleeping under a rock, go get yourself a little Lonnie Walker. Let me ask you something. Kendrick Nunn, is he losing a little luster? Because I brought it up today. 3 of 16, 5 of 15, 6 of 16, 3 of 11. He's 17 of 58, 34% in his last four games. He's 5 of 28 from three-point range, shooting a paltry 17%. So is the youngster losing a little sizzle here right now?
Yeah, I find, and you're probably, obviously, I'm sure you're seeing every Heat game. So you're more plugged in than I am. I'm seeing, you know, I'm seeing highlights and I'm seeing the occasional game. That's like a spin the wheel team. They just always got somebody who's popping off, right? And it's some unexpected talent. They're really, really fun from afar. Probably kind of maddening, but close. So yeah, like he loses a little luster. You can say the same for Tyler Hero, who's obviously had some ups and downs as well. Like they were never going to shoot exactly as torrid as they were at the start of the season. But I also have no doubt that Kendrick Nunn is going to come back and have games like he did to open the season again. So I feel like he's just going to be kind of a roller coaster-ish hot and cold player.
Yeah, that's usually what it is with a young guy and trying to figure it out. And I think this is just a little bit of a funk, but I did add a twist to it today here on the show. I said, well, you know, that door just creaked a little bit open for Deion. Now, if you keep screwing up and you keep burying yourself, then that's when the coach has to say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to have to put Goran as a starter and start using Deion as the bench guy. You know, that you almost start, and I know Spoelstra doesn't want to even look at Deion after Deion ran his mouth and said anybody could coach the big three and all that. So he dissed Spoelstra. But I'm just saying, not right now because it's way too early, but if these struggles do continue a week or two from now, people are going to start talking about that.
Wow. What an amazing off-the-court season Deion has had to this point. Like, it's just really hard to imagine him coming into a crucial minute. I guess it could certainly happen. And his son is technically a rookie, right? Like, he's already played as well. He played his way into sort of an all-rookie first-team discussion. I'd hate to see that end because it's just been such a really fun story.
Well, he's the rookie of the month. I mean, come on, you know. Yeah. So let's hope it. Hey, listen, I'm hoping it continues. I have him on my fantasy team. Here's the other one that I wanted to ask you about. Kyle Kuzma, has he become just a guy that you just cast off and put on the street? Because hell, AD was even sick last night and he's still balling, and Kuzma isn't getting the playing time unless AD is going to be injured. So is Kuzma down to being just a handcuff? Because he was a decent, you know, fantasy player last year for anybody that had him. He was a starter. Now, dude, he doesn't even look like a bench player for you.
Yeah, it's tough with him because he is, and I think we've talked about it before, he's really the only trade asset they have, right? Like, they can't flip, seems like any LeBron-led team that is in a finals discussion is obviously going to be a candidate to try to add pieces or a piece or whatever it is they need at or near the deadline. And they've dealt their way into a position where they can't really flip picks because all the picks are spoken for that they can possibly trade. And Kuzma is sort of that one asset that they could attach to another player, try to match some salaries a little bit and get something in return. So they would have to build him up into a player that would actually be coveted by like a rebuilding team. And he's due to get paid pretty soon too. So you've got to regard him as somebody that you'd be willing to give a decent contract to. So I feel like he's got to get built up a little bit, but you're right. I mean, he basically entered this year as somebody who was primarily only going to be of assistance in terms of points anyway, right?
Yeah.
Not a guy who put up big skills. Like, he just doesn't give you any what we call defensive goodies, right? Like, it was less than half a block a game last year. And he was playing 33, 34 minutes a game and giving you only like half a steal a game, half a block a game. So he's not helpful there. Not unusually helpful in terms of percentages. You know, he's like a 75%-ish free throw shooter, 45-ish from the field. So he's not really helping you there. He's not a particularly good percentage three-point shooter either, but he chucks them, for better or worse. So he was really only going to help in points, and now he's not particularly helpful there. So, yeah, like, you can't, fantasy-wise, you can't trade him. Nobody's particularly interested in acquiring Kyle Kuzma. And you're like, you don't want to play him either. So a guy that you don't want to throw into your starting roster and who has the trade value is definitely a plausible drop. You know, unless he's getting 30 plus minutes a game, I don't see how he can be extremely helpful.
And if you want to send in any fantasy questions, it's 786-322-1105, the accidentlawfirm.com text line. You can also send them in on Twitter at Big O Show or on our YouTube chat board there while you're watching. Bless you, Bill. D'Angelo Russell. The long-term view of it, how do we look at it as a fantasy player? Do we expect him to stay there in Golden State, or because of everything that's happened, will they deal him? And if they do, who's the guy you target to take over those minutes and maybe become a fantasy asset?
Yeah, this is super interesting, too, because I really don't see how they can hold on to him. Like, they should be and pretty much are right now in tank mode, right? And positioning themselves for a draft pick that they didn't think they'd be in position to get. D'Angelo Russell could mess around and win you four or five games over the balance of the season. That's just not like that's not helping. They don't need that. I doubt very much that they regard him as a serious part of the future as they head into the next 3-4 years with, you know, the end of Steph Curry's prime and whatever they get left. Like these are the final years for like Clay and Steph and Dre, and they can make another run at it plausibly, but I don't know how you fit D'Angelo Russell into that. They're not learning anything about it this year because Curry's not around, Clay's not around. I consider it more likely than not that he will be dealt. That he would be dealt by the deadline, or certainly in the offseason. I don't know why they would push him back out onto the floor. He is expected to return, I think, on Wednesday against I think it's Charlotte on the schedule for them. But there's almost no question that without him, like, Ty Bowman has been the guy that's benefited. He's got the shots, he's got the minutes. He's in all likelihood going to get crushed by Russell's return. They are starting to get a bunch of pieces back. You know, Looney back, Russell coming back eventually. I suppose Steph comes back. Like they probably shouldn't put themselves in a position to win too many games.
Andy Behrens from Yahoo Fantasy. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Andy, are you on the Western Conference Player of the Week's bandwagon, Carmelo Anthony?
I think it's fun that Carmelo has played well. I think it's really fun. I did not think that a winning environment was necessarily the right place for him. Like, I just kind of wanted to see him go out guns blazing on a losing team, and it didn't matter that all he ever did on defense anymore was just sort of point at where other people should go. I mean, it's been fun. I he's a beautiful player. At his peak, he was amazing. It's fun. I'm for it. Obviously, James Harden was the player of the week. That was a crock. That was an absolute crock. A guy averages 40-plus in a given week, and he doesn't win player of the week. That's crazy.
He had 25, 19, and 23. Okay, good week, but really? Come on, dude. In this league? I mean, you know, nice week for – it's almost like they gave it to him because of who he is and all that good stuff in the pub. And I mean, but last night he went 2 of 9. 9 points, baby. So he kind of went.
There's going to be plenty more of those lines ahead. Like that's a lot of what Carmelo Anthony is going to deliver. Like at this stage in his career, but still, it's a fun story. And they actually won some games. That was good.
Yeah, no, it definitely was a fun story. It's like watching the Harden-Westbrook thing yesterday, and I was talking about it earlier. I mean, one dude goes 11 of 38. The other guy goes 7 of 30. It's 18 of 69, dude. 18 of 69. I mean, they shot 5 of 26 from three-point range. It's just when they both got together – you've got to be crazy to think, oh, that's a great idea. The efficiency is just going to go through the roof with those two guys. I mean, just nuts to have those two guys on one team.
Well, I feel like the Rockets are maybe going to force this. Like we need some rule changes regarding the three and how, like, it's just no fun to watch this many missed shots. And I know it's the right shot to take. Like, the math is overwhelming.
Right.
It is the right shot to take. And playing the game as they're playing it is, in fact, a winning approach. Like, all the analytics will tell you that. But it's not pretty to watch. Like, the reason I don't get super into college basketball is I'm not tuning in to watch somebody shoot 37% for an entire game. And I don't care where the shots are from. Like, I don't want to see that many missed shots. It is a rough, rough watch. And obviously Harden has the further complication that he will slow the game down by, you know, he's great at drawing fouls. He's great at finishing through contact. And that is a valuable skill. It's not that fun to watch people shoot free throws, and it's not that fun to watch miss jumpers, no matter where they're taken from. You know, like, it's just not aesthetically pleasing.
I got to tell you, that exchange between Harden and the fan, I didn't come here to see a free throw shooting contest, and then he screams back, I didn't come here to get fouled or whatever. It was just awesome, dude. That was hilarious yesterday.
Pretty great. Like, he's a really colorful player. I mean, again, it's just hard to watch a team shoot 37, 38% for a full night.
I'm with you there. All right, give me an under the radar guy you like this week for streaming leagues. You name it. Give me something that maybe we didn't talk about. You want to talk about?
Well, I want to shout out Isaiah Thomas again, who I actually just batted in a couple leagues, coming off a 20-point performance. And again, he's shooting reasonably well. I think we've kind of written off Isaiah Thomas as a guy who could just crush your field goal percentage if. If he was actually going to be in a position where he's going to get shots up. And now that's not so much the case. He's hitting shots. He looks a little friskier than he has necessarily last season, something like that. So he's a guy who's available in about 70% of Yahoo leagues. And I'm scooping him up. I'm plenty interested. And again, I feel like we mentioned him last week too. You can probably tell that I'm trying to replace guys like De'Aaron Fox and John Morant right now. But I'm pretty interested in Rajon Rondo too, who's been hitting the occasional three. And even with LeBron, just putting up huge assist totals, crazy stats, Rondo found a way to assist on 6-7 baskets tonight. So he's been useful as well.
Follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens and at Yahoo Fantasy. What are you guys doing there in basketball so they can check you out?
Dom Delton and I have the Yahoo Fantasy News podcast. We're recording it tomorrow. Let's just put together some notes for that. We release that every Thursday. I really hope people will check it out. Go to Apple, go to Spotify, wherever. Give it a listen. I don't even require you to subscribe. Just give it a listen, try it out. We've had some really fun guests so far, and we have a really good conversation on that.
As always, Andy, you're the best. We will talk to you on Friday for a little football, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, Miguel. Catch you soon.
You got it, baby. Be good. There you go. The great Andy Behrens. That was a fun fantasy basketball segment. There you go. Hope you guys liked it, man. Hope you guys are enjoying. Those of you at least that listen to fantasy basketball, hope you're enjoying. And if there's something you want us to add to the fantasy basketball segment that you think might make it better, send it in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105 on Twitter, on DM, Big O Show, whatever. If you got any ideas, not just for fantasy basketball, anything else for the show. And if you want to become a sponsor of our program, help us grow so we can keep this going for everybody, you can also reach out to us on my Twitter page at Big O Show. DM me if you want on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, 786-322-1105. My email, orlando@thebigoshow.com. You can send it there also. Many ways to contact us here on the show. And, of course, you can also go to Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines, the best Acura dealership in the country, man. I'm telling you, I've been talking about them for 9 years now. You know, and I did drive a TSX for 9 years until I totaled it. Anyway, right now we've got some great deals going on. The ILX is $199 and 2019 model. 2020s, yes, they're in. The TLX is $259, the RDX $329, and the MDX $369. The selection is second to none. They've got the largest selection of brand new Acuras in Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. So get on down to 15601 Pines Boulevard. Just off of I-75 and Pines, only $29.99. Do it signing plus tax tag and registration for those lease features. Check out the fleet of certified pre-owned vehicles and the used cars. All makes, all models to fit all kinds of budgets. Hey, tell them that Big O sent you and they'll take care of you at Craig Zinn's Acura of Pembroke Pines.
No one expects to get into a crash, but I expect you to go to accidentlawfirm.com if you do. Make sure when hiring a driver, you go through a rideshare app so that you can be covered by the insurance, which can be up to $1 million, whether you're a passenger or a driver. In other words, don't try to save a few bucks by paying cash instead of going through the app. I'm attorney Bobby Nunez from Nunez Law in Miami, and we're here to help you through the process. Go to accidentlawfirm.com for a free consultation from me, Bobby Nunez. That's accidentlawfirm.com.
Thinking about buying or refinancing a home? Act now. Home values are ticking up. Don't put off making a move any longer. Call Michael Codzi now at Choice Mortgage Bank, 561-441-2730. While mortgage interest rates are still at historical lows, call now to get pre-approved and buy your dream home. If you're currently paying over $800 a month for rent, call 561-441-2730 now before interest rates go up. Down payments as low as 3.5%. 5.5%. Veterans may qualify for no money down. If you own a home, but you're upside down, Michael Kodzi can help. If you're being denied by your bank or your loan process is taking too long, call 561-441-2730. Act now while fixed rates are still under 3.5%. Offices in Boca and Boynton Beach. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. Equal housing lender. NMLS 122081.
America's safest and best-selling compact luxury SUV is at Acura of Pembroke Pines, and this is how we do it. RDX, $339 a month at Acura of Pembroke Pines, the number one volume Acura dealer.
Welcome back.
This is the Big O Show.
Hope you guys are doing well out there. Thank you for keeping it locked here on the program. We take you till about 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that. Depends on how long the voice lasts.
It seems to be, you know, sustaining.
Better than yesterday.
But there are a couple moments where you can.
I'm going to run out of gas,
it
bro.
It gives out.
I'm going to run out of gas. What are you going to do?
You know what just I was thinking about, man?
What's that?
The pit. Gator bites.
Oh, yeah. You want to do that after?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do that.
All right.
Some gator bites. Nothing wrong with that. Little gator bite action. We got a lot of things to talk about. We still got Michelle Kaufman is going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll get our Inter Miami segment with Michelle. And we'll get the latest on what's going on with Inter. No coach yet. We're still missing those two international players. We got to find out from Michelle what's the latest, man. What's going on with all of that, man? You're keeping us in suspense here with all that stuff. Although they did claim or acquire, I think they're up to like 17 or 18 players. I read. So we'll get the latest from Michelle at the top of the hour, like we do every week here. We talk Inter Miami. We will talk every week Inter Miami until the season starts. And then when the season starts, we'll talk more Inter Miami. I'm interested to see when they start adding like more coverage, right? I'm not talking about electronically. I know what's going to happen. Electronically, the bandwagon will get on the editors and the PDs and all that. They don't know anything about it, but they'll just, it started. Okay, now let's cover it. You know, that kind of stuff. But it's interesting how it's just Michelle. That's it. No, she has no competition at all. And it's weird because I think it's going to be a beat that people are going to be interested in a lot more than the Marlins. And it's not because I'm not trying to diss the Marlins or say that they're terrible or they don't deserve the coverage. It's just they haven't done anything to get that coverage. It's their own fault. They can't blame anybody else but themselves. Meanwhile, the Inter Miami group does everything to get headlines. That's the whole difference right there. And they're willing to do what it takes to win. And that's the challenge for the summers now. It's what I told Andre yesterday. I think they started to realize the landscape, and they're starting to realize that Inter Miami is going to steal anything and everything that's available in the summer. And parents are going to say, you know, I'm going to take my son or daughter to the Inter game instead of the baseball game. Why? Because you're going to have a much better atmosphere. It's going to be a winning team. So the vibe is going to be fun. And kids like soccer. They actually do. I mean, hell, it's the number one played sport in this country when you're a child. They're playing more soccer than any other sport in this country. It's crazy, but it's the truth. And that's where Inter also takes a lead on the Marlins. You know what I'm trying to explain to you? It's because Inter now will have players and an identity that they're going to be able to grow up with. And you start entertaining, you start winning from the get-go, guess what happens, ladies and gentlemen? You capture memories. Okay? Because I have memories of Ray Hudson and the Strikers. I have memories of the Marlins back in 97 and 2003. I have memories of the Dolphins when they were good. And those are the things that ignite you and lift you and then also connect you with your team. Those kind of moments. Hitting the pots and pans when the Heat are winning championships. Hitting the pots and pans when the Canes are winning titles. And the parades. I remember covering parades. I remember covering the 91 parade for the Canes. Running up and down the street and getting interviews from the guys. That was as a media member. But as a fan, I remember going to the 87, the 89 parades, and 83, and I remember all of that. I remember going to Coral Gables to celebrate for the baseball team. All those kind of things. Because those are the moments that we connect. And the Marlins are creating none of those moments. And that's a huge problem for them. I hope they realize this. You cannot... It almost reminds me a little bit that Jeter and company, they act like the new Canes football players. Let me explain. Jeter and company come into town, and they kind of think that, well, hey, you know, we'll get attendance by just cleaning everything up and saying that we're going to do the things the right way. Sorry, nobody's showing up, dude. And your second year was worse than your first year. And attendance was still terrible. And you could change the start time and all that. That's all fluff. You got to add talent. You got to win. You got to entertain in this town. In comes the University of Miami football team. You notice these kids? They celebrate after beating Central Michigan. These kids here that they got now, they put on the U helmet. And they think they're Jerome Brown and Sean Taylor, right? They think they're Dan Morgan. Problem is, they haven't achieved any of that stuff. They put on that helmet and they act like they are the U, and they're not. They're riding the efforts of everybody else that made the U. The guys the last 10, 15 years, they're not worthy of calling it the U and saying that they're a part of the U. Sure, there are certain players that were quality players that came through, but those teams, year in and year out, they're embarrassments to what was set up. But those kids act like they are the bomb. They act like they walk on the field and they'll win the game already. And that's kind of what Jeter did, too. I'm Derek Jeter. I say we're going to do this. People will respond. No, they won't, dude. This isn't New York. This ain't the Bronx, bro. You didn't win 5 championships here, bro. Nobody cares about you here. There's a couple of ex-Yankee fans that care about you. Outside of that, hey, I'm not a Yankee fan, and I like you. As a player, I admire Derek Jeter, one of my favorite players of all time. Did it the right way. But the dude came in with this entitlement thinking that just by saying the right things, it was going to turn it around. And, bro, it's not. Nobody's going to believe you. Nobody's going to trust you. There's been way too much mistrust from Henry till now. Not just Loria, Henry too. Huizenga was a man and a half. Do you know why I say that? Because Huizenga bought the team. He went and bought the players and then told you, hey, by the way, I'm going to dismantle them at the end of the year. I'm losing money. This is not the business model I signed up for. At least he had the balls to sit there and tell you, this is how it is. Not I'm going to lie to you, I'm going to fluff, I'm going to sell, I'm going to tell you I'm going to do this, I'm going to tell you to do that, and you never do anything. And that's what we've gotten since. Henry was crying about a stadium, but he did get the money to buy Nesson and the stadium in Boston. But he didn't have the money here. Here he cried poor, and he stadium. You get lied to. You got Loria lying to you about everything that went on. And then you got Jeter not lying because he's not a liar, but he is misdirected, in other words. And he's misinformed about this town. I don't think he understands that you got to earn your keep. The dude that got it more than anybody was Mickey Arison. Mickey just didn't play the game. He just said, yeah, okay, no problem. I get it. I'll build my team. I'll build a kick-ass team year in and year out. You'll fill it. You'll respond. Now we're Heat fans. Now we're a basketball town. We'll always be a football town. But we are also now a basketball town. Because he didn't make excuses. Hell, even when he tore down the team, he lowered the prices. That's stand-up, dude. I get it. Owners are never going to be perfect because it's a business. So they're going to try to take advantage. And if they can get help from the public trough, they're going to do that too. Every one of them does that. The question is, what do you do as... after you've taken advantage of that avenue that's there, it's a law, can't do anything about it. What do you do? How do you then contribute to the community? And then Jeffrey Loria didn't contribute crap. But Mickey Arison has. Because he's given you a lot of entertainment. You built the arena. You come, he built the team. He gave you a great coach. Great coaches, actually. Because he's giving you three. You know, I would go with two great coaches and one hell of a coach. Spo's great for me. And I'll go with Van Gundy good. And obviously we know what Riley is. He's God. So, I mean, they know it. They get it. Inter gets it. Yeah, they're trying to cut any deal they can with the city and the county on any side. But they're building their own stuff, dude. They're not asking you to build it. And they're going to go get players, and they're trying to do everything first class because they want to create a product that you will come and you will support. Because Jorge Mas lives here. He knows how we are. We don't just support to support. Get the hell out of here, bro. I can go to South Beach and hang out in Lincoln Road Mall. Have some fun. Go to a movie. Go to a concert. Go to a restaurant. Go to the Intercoastal. Go down to the Keys. Too many things to do here. I don't need to spend my money and see your bad whatever professional team. And the Marlins, maybe there was a little bit of a wake-up call this week. But they got to get their asses on track, man. Because you don't want to become a ghost town in the summer. And that's what they've been. And they're going to become a bigger ghost. They're going to become such a ghost that Sam Darnold is going to be there, and he's going to have season tickets during the summer for the Marlins. That's the kind of ghosting they're going to be doing. Okay?
I don't think they're going to be ghosted. I think basically they're going to be exposed and put like, hey, look at what the soccer, 20, and how many at the, yeah, they didn't get 20,000 over three games.
Right.
They're going to be called out and exposed.
Unless the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Cubs are town.
You are exact, man, Mets games, St. Louis games, you name it.
The quality teams.
Yeah.
Traditional.
Here, Marlins. Second night back in the day, A.J. Burnett, ex-Marlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they pass out cowbells. Of course, I go Marlins, but it's my one time to go Yankee. I got my Jeter, we're in the club section. The cowbells, couldn't get one because I'm a Yankee fan. They flash up the thing, 58,000 blah, whatever, and the Marlin fans are all going crazy. And I'm standing there like, I stood up, I go, hey, Yankee fans, stand up. Why is there 58,000? Because of us.
Yes.
Not because of the Marlins, because of us.
No.
And you know as well as I do, man, I went to the second and third game, 50-50, maybe 60-40 Yankee.
Yeah, more.
60-40 Yankee.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy. Easy. In those days, or any day, easy. It's always dominated by Yankee fans or any of the other teams that are quality.
Yeah.
They always
it
becomes a road game for the Marlins, dude. Automatically is what happens. But that's the difference. And the soccer team's gonna create a buzz, and they're going to create a following. And it's going to be a real interesting challenge. And you brought up a really good point, Bill. The embarrassment that they're also going to suffer media-wise, because they're going to have their attendance constantly written in. They're constantly going to talk about how the Inter-Miami squad is doing it right and the buzz is there, and then it's dead with baseball. And it's up to them. They've got to get it done, and they don't. It's ridiculous, I tell you. All right, 786-333-1105. That's 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, where the hell did I get 633? Anyway, so Heat in action tonight against Boston at 7:30. Panthers lost yesterday, and it started off so well. You're up 2-0 on the Wild. Things are going well, and then the Wild get the next three goals. After that, they get the empty netter to make it 4-2. It's just depressing on that one, man. After you're leading 2-0, kind of dominating there at that point. Driedger, obviously, what do you have, 32 saves or something like that? I wrote it down. What do you have, 22 saves yesterday? He didn't really face a ton of shots overall.
No, and what do we have, 40?
Yeah.
We had 40, 42, 46, something like that.
Yeah. Once you start trailing, it usually happens with the team that's trailing, the desperation. So they usually get a lot more shots, but they just could not get the damn puck in the net after that first period, dude.
No, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't all that impressed with their skaters. We bodied up with them.
Not a great team.
I will say this. It seemed like every time we're going out of our zone, going neutral and going offensive, they had two guys back every time. We never had
rushes.
Yeah, man.
Well, I mean,
maybe a couple, but not like we usually do.
Right, maybe you didn't get the right turnovers. That's it. U2 announcing U2X Radio. What is that?
Oh, that one turnover in our zone that they scored a goal. That back pass right in front of the net and got picked off, and it was like, it's in the net. Here we go.
Wait a minute. This is more important now. U2X Radio. What is this? It's U2's announcing. It's off the U2 Twitter handle, and it's U2X Radio. I don't know what that means. I want to know what this means. Somebody help me.
You know what? We got a couple minutes before Michelle, man.
I know that. I know that. But I want to know what U2X Radio means. Is that a U2 radio station? Are they starting their own station?
If I had to venture a
guess. That would be cool. Man, if bands would start their own stations, that would be actually really interesting. They could play their own music, their live stuff, interviews. They can give news out, that kind of stuff. That'd be pretty cool.
Live stuff? Like the song that we've been looking for live, and we've only got
maybe
the guy standing outside doing the sound check in Barcelona?
Anything. But I got to find out what that is. U2X Radio. If anybody knows, fill me in. Myron Sanchez says U2 Radio. Okay, but where is it? Is it on the U2 website? Is there an app?
And I want the
drowning man
live.
Is it a radio station? Is it just music? What is it on demand? Is it? I don't know. I need to know. Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, that's the name of the next album. We got to start planning that trip to Ireland.
I want to know what that is, bro. U2X Radio. I want to know what the hell that is. I'm gonna goggle it and see what the hell is it. U2 launching SiriusXM Pandora channel, U2X Radio. Okay. 2 hours ago, this broke from Billboard. I have not seen it. U2 announced the launch of a dedicated SiriusXM channel dubbed U2X Radio on Wednesday, December 4th. The creative partnership with the satellite radio giant will include the channel and exclusive content available only to SiriusXM subscribers and Pandora listeners. The reveal of the channel was made by the band during their Joshua Tree tour stop at Satima Super Arena in Tokyo, Japan, where singer Bono cut into the Howard Stern show to acknowledge the new deal. According to a press release, the news lit up the show's massive 200 by 40 foot screen with a video tribute to the radio just before a radio performance of Elevation, while a Facebook live stream led fans around the world hear the announcement as it happened. Generally, when I open my mouth, people prefer I'm singing, but on U2X Radio, maybe they'll forgive me the odd interruption, Bono said in a statement about the channel, which will launch in 2020. What I like is this looks like a permanent thing, because those of us that have Sirius, you know how they turn that one channel, what is it, channel 30, 33 or something like that, that for a month it's the Leonard Skinner channel, it's the U2 channel, it's whatever, right? And I hate it because they do, you know, U2 for a month and then it's gone. Then Leonard Skinner for a month and it's gone. And I'm like, come on, man. So guitarist Edge added, so I get to sit around having a laugh with my musician friends and playing our favorite music. As I always say, I have the best job in the world. The channel will feature appearances from the band, music from U2's 4+ decade career, never before heard interviews and live recordings, favorites and surprises from the archives and band curated playlists. U2 has unparalleled influences as musicians, social activists, and global cultural icons. The band's ability to evolve has enabled it to create a large and diverse library of hit songs, as well as 4+ decades worth of renowned live performances. Scott Greenstein, president in chief and content officer for SiriusXM, in a statement, U2X Radio and the offering on Pandora will provide listeners new access and insight into the world, into one of the world's most accomplished bands, and we could not be more excited to welcome Bono, The Edge, Adam, and Larry to the SiriusXM family. U2's foray into satellite comes after a number of other iconic acts have taken over SiriusXM's airwaves with their own dedicated stations, including long-running ones from Elvis, Frank Sinatra, Fish, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty, Pearl Jam, The Beatles, and Garth Brooks. Good. Half those channels, the people are dead. All right. So, no, it's true. I mean, Elvis is dead. It's great to have his channel, but we don't get to hear from Elvis anymore. Hey, I want a, you know, hey, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I just want a Drowning Man live version hooked up to the board, not some guy standing out in front of the stadium in Barcelona listening to a sound check, and we're getting reverberation and feedback.
Maybe it'll help. Maybe one day. Elvis, dead. Frank Sinatra, dead. Tom Petty, dead. Beatles, somewhat dead. You know, it just, yeah. This one, at least these people are still alive, along with Pearl Jam and Garth Brooks and Bruce Springsteen and Fish. There you go. Fish fans. So the Fish has a 24-hour channel. I know they're big, but it's still pretty amazing that they have a 24-hour channel.
Well, those people are like Grateful Dead people.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's...
Yeah, no, they're fanatical.
Fanatical, exactly.
Well, it's a jam band. So it's one of those cool bands that you go and you don't see the same set ever. So it's just one of those deals. So that's why people love them, because they jam like, you know, Matthews and Pearl Jam and things like that, that you go to those concerts and you never see the same concert.
Dave Matthews.
Yeah, so I said Matthews and Pearl Jam.
But you know what? I am so looking forward to Rockville because of Metallica.
Oh, okay.
Telling you flat out.
I didn't know. I was going, wow, is Matthews there too? I didn't know that.
No.
Because that place will get fanatical.
Did you see Dave he was the 12th man. He raised the flag for Seattle on Monday night.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. That's right. Juan Reese says, thank you for supporting the Strikers, Big O. Brother, I support all soccer locally. Strikers, Miami FC, you name it, bro. Inter Miami. It's always going to be like that.
Speaking of which,
yes,
we're a couple minutes past.
Oh, we are.
Miss Michelle Kaufman. Let's get our Inter Miami on.
All right, let's get our Inter Miami football segment on with Michelle Kaufman. That is next.